find Tmura. Tmura is a switch. Al gulav al Tmura. Pasigan Rus. Tamu Chacham Shemeis Miyim Tzilanu Tmura. So if Tamu Chacham passes on, where could you find the Tmura? Where could you find a switch for him, a Hachlafa for him? What's in the kud of that? What's the point? So I once heard from Avol, but I think it has been for the Mashkiach of my old yeshiva, Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky. I think that's where he said it. So he explained like this. Well, what's the difference? Every Talmud Chacham, you know, they know the same things. This one knows Bavli, this one knows Yushalmi, this one. Well, why is it no Tmura? Someone else has a similar level of ideas. Because the point of being a Talmud Chacham really is that a person is building Olamis Pnimim, inner worlds, to himself. It looks like the same on the outside. Black, white, whatever. Beard. Longer beard, shorter beard. What's the difference? But the truth is, in the inner world, on the outside, maybe it looks the same. On the outside, sometimes it could look the same. But the inner world, which each Talmud Chacham is living in, is a totally different outer world. Is a totally different inner world. His tefillah is with his kavanas. His special kavanas. His special meanings. His tefillin with his hirdurim, the things that he's marked on. His beinam lechavero, different style, a different warmth. The Torah, his havana, his understanding, his omek. His world. His world. My Rebbe told me one time, what's the parsha of uniqueness and individuality in Torah? We'd have to look at the whole Chumash to find one parsha where we'd say, this is where we find uniqueness. This is where we find individuality. Where is it? So he said, you know where it is? It's Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso, the Parshas Nesiim.
Very interesting psukim. Let me read all of them to you.
Have to fill up 20 minutes, huh? Where is it? What's going on here? V'yam makri b'yam arishan es korbanu nachshu ben aminilad av lamad de Yehuda korbanu karas kesav achas shloshim mea mishkalo mizrak echa kesav shim shekel b'shekel akodesh neim aleim solas b'lua v'shem mincha v'chulei v'chulei. And then the makri b'yam asheni nisano ben tsuar hikriv es korbanu karas kesav achas shloshim mea mishkalo. Same exact thing. 12 times. The same exact thing. My rabbi said, this is the parsha. This is the parsha of uniqueness. This is where it's at. Because the Midrashim tell us, Ramban, Rabbeinu, Bechai, I believe, bring down, that each one had his own kavanas, his own way, his own shavit, his own style. They were all doing the same things. Outside, ostensibly, it was all the same. Inside, the inner worlds, which were going on, was totally different. Yisrael's Korban was totally different than Don's, totally different than Naftali, totally different than Usher's. A different world, But you didn't see it on the outside, but on the inside you saw it. And this is so opposite the world tfisa. People want individuality. Don't you see that? People want individuality. I mentioned I was in England, Hyde Park, but you see the punks. I'm unique. I have rainbow colored hair. I'm unique. I got a mohawk. I'm unique. But inside, rot. Nothing. No development. Emptiness. That's unique. What are you unique about? The color of your hair? The stripe of your pants, whether you have a horse over here, or a tail, maybe they have a tail. That's uniqueness, and that's the world. That's what the world screams out. We want to be unique. Yeah, Torah also wants you to be unique. Karas kesav achas, but the same. But it's your inner world, the world that nobody sees. And so, same thing, every Ben Torah has to be pushing for that. Every Ben Torah has to be striving for that. Do I have an inner world? Am I developing an inner world? Is my life different than everybody else's inside? Now this, of course, when you think about it, has a tremendous amount to do with what tznias is. What's the real nekuda tznias? That's really, if I had to sum it up in a word, is that. We'll explain a little more, but do I live in an outer world or do I live in an inner world? That's a tanua. Tznei lechaz ima Hashem alokecha. Someone's going with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Everybody has to see it because you're screaming out loud. That's why. That's tznei lechaz. Tznei lechaz is no one sees. You know, the derech of Argadolim is like daven quietly. Don't scream in the front of a shul, quietly, but no one sees. Tznei lechaz im Hashem alokecha, but it's im Hashem alokecha, together with Kaddish Baruch Hu. Nobody has to see. That's really the question that's tznias. Do I live in an inner world or an outer world? You know, and this is something you find again and again. By Rav Gadolim, Rav Chatzil Levinstein, someone saw the Kabbalists that he had, the great Mashkiach of Panovich, one of the great Ovdei Hashem in the last generations, the last Doris. Someone saw his Kabbalot. You know, the things that he was working on himself, his personal little diary of Avodas Hashem. So one of the things he received upon himself, that he accepted upon himself, is every single person. He was Mashkiach of maybe the biggest yeshiva, or the second biggest yeshiva in the time, Panovich. I don't know how many Talmidim were there then, 250, 400. And other people come to daven in Bnei Brak and Panovich, many Balabatim, etc., many old Talmidim, Rosh Hikola, Rosh Yeshivas, etc., the whole gamut. Retired police officers. And he said, every single person I say good Shabbos to, I'm going to say it with feeling. Every single person I say good Shabbos to, I'm going to say it with a feeling. Every person is going to get a real good Shabbos for me. They don't necessarily know. They don't. Maybe they felt it. Maybe they didn't feel it. But every single person, that's an inner world. That's an inner good Shabbos. Yeah, you've ever seen Rosh Yeshiva who do that? You know, here we don't have that in Minig so much. Maybe we should. But everybody just runs through, you know. You know, I would say my father-in-law, Shalita, on Rosh Hashanah. He's not like the big lovey-dovey guy, my father-in-law. But, I mean, he likes me. But I hope. But anyway, so, but that's what he tells me. Anyway. So both sides, but every single guy, when he wishes Rosh Hashanah, when he wishes the Ksivuch Simatov, he puts his hand on every guy's shoulder, left hand, he shakes every guy's hand, he does it. That was Rav Chatzkel. He was living in an inner world. Same good Shabbos, the same 5 minutes, the same 7 minutes. No one maybe felt it, but he knew it, that it was a totally different thing. He was giving them for bracha for good Shabbos, and for sure, hundreds of Bnei Torah and Bnei Brak had a better Shabbos because of the good Shabbos wish, the sincere wish, which it's tzadik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. His good Shabbos changed everything, but it was in an inner world. The Alta Slobodka was walking to Yeshiva in Slobodka one day, and someone was walking with him, and he turned to a house, the house of one of the Ramim in Yeshiva. So it was back then, you know, they used to have the Yeshiva, and there were houses around. And he said good Shabbos to the Ram inside the house. What? He said good Shabbos to the Rebbe that was inside the house. Maybe it was Moshe Mordechai Epstein. He said good Shabbos, not to the house. It was not funny business, you know. Pnimis at the house. He said good Shabbos to the Rebbe that was inside the house. Why do you have to, sorry, not so good Shabbos, say good morning. Why do you have to say good morning to someone's in front of you? You want to wish him a good morning, whether he sees it or he doesn't see it. We just say good morning because it's a rote operation. So it doesn't make any sense if we're not speaking to somebody. But the altar said it because he was really wishing this person a good morning. You have to see. You don't have to see. You're going to get a wish of a good morning from me. That's what he did. The altar of Kelm, Simchas Zilziv, a generation back, was once on a train together with other people. They're on a train together. And they went through a very massive tunnel, like there were massive tunnels only in Europe, miles long, I don't know how long it was, but the massive tunnel, and the lights were out, and the other people in the train car were going bonkers. They didn't know what to do with themselves. You can't really talk to people so well when it's dark. Maybe it's dark for like 3 hours, but it's dark for like 10 minutes. They couldn't play chess. They couldn't, they couldn't read their papers, couldn't talk politics. They lost it. They were so antsy, so agitated, so uptight. Alter Kelm was sat in tranquility, b'shalva, a few minutes to collect his thoughts, kavaldik, because he had an inner world which he lived in. They're living in their papers. They're living in the chess. So the chess is not there. They have nowhere to go. They have no place, nothing inside of them. The Alter lived in an inner world. He had somewhere to go to. You know, one striking example, which even hits closer to tznius in this, is that the Rabbeinu Shvinkel, the older Shiva in the Mir, about 15, 20 years ago, a little more, he had a guest over in his house once, and he was learning, as was his wont, late at night, and the guest got up, went to the bathroom, whatever, peeked into the kitchen. By the time he got to the kitchen, so Rabbeinu should put the Gemara aside, and he was peeling an apple. Chalili shouldn't think that I'm learning. It's Nias, but Sanua. Not everybody has to know my mitzvahs. Not everybody has to know what I do. Not everybody has to know my ma'asim tovim. Sad as a person gets shaykes, I think when you start to hear it, this wasn't when I originally, you know, I think a lot before we make these monthly topics and things. This wasn't the kivun I was thinking about going, but then I thought about it. This is one of the most important things. As all these shmuzim, that's why we push people to come, not because I need to express myself. I did that at the partners conference. To more people. But we do it because it's important. These are things you have to hear. And that's why people should come, really. Sorry for pushing that. It's because it's important things in your education. Things to know, things you don't hear. Well, so, but that's it. To live in an inner world. So how does a person get shaykhus to this? How does a person start to think, am I living in an inner world? Am I an inner person, outer person? So I think the first question you have to ask yourself, first and foremost, is think, you know, to yourself. Is there more than me that meets the eye? Am I my silhouette? You know, if you see the silhouette, and you see the color of my eyes and the color of my skin, whether I have a beard or not, or whether I have pears or not. So you see me? And if I'm wearing black or white, or if I'm not wearing black and white, you see me? Or is there more there? Is there something else there? Some signs of this. A few simonim that I thought. Can you be by yourself? Can you be by yourself? Can you handle being by yourself? The uncomfortable. I had a roommate one time. Couldn't be by himself. I remember we spoke in my Shabbat about it. I was leaving. My Rebbe didn't know what was going on. What's with this guy? Like I was It's like we're getting divorced. Because it wasn't that he loved me so much, but he loved somebody. He couldn't handle being by himself. Maitcha. If you have an inner world, like that story with Altav Kelm, you like going to that inner world. Even the Kilo, I'm sorry to say this like this, don't get the wrong idea. It means not even the Rebbeinu Shel. If you have to talk to the Rebbeinu Shel all the time, it also means you're not necessarily comfortable with yourself. Can you be by yourself? Revolbus used to send Talmidim for this point to go walk. For walks in Ber Yaakov. Take a walk. Be by yourself. So a certain Talmud came back one time. He said, I was very, very scared. He came back all nifhal, all agitated, uptight. So Revolbus said to him, what'd you see? You saw a big dog? No, there are no Arabs over there. You saw an Arab? No, you saw, what'd you see? Who was it? The mob, a Russian, the Russian mafia in Israel. What'd you see? He said, you met yourself and you didn't know how to deal with that. He was scared of himself. That's what happened. So was the story. He couldn't handle being by himself. And when he met himself for a second, he was out. One sign. Another sign. Does everybody have to know what I'm doing? Does everybody have to know what I'm doing? Can I handle the fact that not everybody knows? Or everything I do has to be out to everybody for everybody to see? That's a sign. Why does everybody have to know? For sure there are good things. Mitzvah lefarsim and also mitzvah. It's balancing everything. It's balancing everything. But if it's in me that everybody has to know what I'm doing and I have to be getting recognition for everything I'm doing, forget it. We're not talking about kavanah now. We're talking about the fact that it means you're not a tzanuah. It means you don't have an inner world. You're not drawing into an inner place. You're not inside yourself. You're always out. Another simon. This is an interesting one. Can you keep a secret, you know? I heard a Maral one time. Maral says, someone who could keep a secret is a sign that he has a pnim. He has something inside, you know? Not if you have a big belly or not a big belly, but he can keep something inside. He has a pnim. There's a place there. Not everything has to shoot out. You know, I would say the same thing by an idea. Can you hold an idea? You have to shoot out your ideas. We want to teach people. But it's interesting when you've worked over ideas, thought about them. Can you hold an idea without having to spit it out? Can you chew over something? Can you meditate? Can you ruminate on something? Can you don on something? Can you keep it in? Or everything's just outside of you the whole time? Those are some signs with which a person could judge and evaluate whether he's developing, whether he lives in and holds an inner world. And we mentioned, there's a person in constant need for recognition. You know, Rabbeinu Yisrael Salanter, Gaon Yisrael, so someone said about him, the whole world, everybody works to make their name greater. Not a person who's not thinking about that. Not a person who's not thinking about that. How can I make my name greater? But he said, Rabbi Yisrael was the one person who was always thinking, how can I make my name smaller? And no Indian, all he could do was how to be less and less known. Just to prove this to you, I forgot one of the three parts, but a certain point in his life, this is a very important story for another reason also. A certain point in his life, he decided, you know what, I'm going to be a nister. Someone who's totally unknown. You know what I'm saying? A certain, for sure, like we say about Tzaddik and Nistarim, as much as there, you could know them also. He's also, anyway, a Tzaddik Nister. Because there's a lot you don't know. But he wanted to be a complete nister. So he said to himself, well, how am I going to be a complete nister? How am I going to be a person who's completely away from the public eye, unknown to humanity? But you have to be a firm person also. He said, you know what, people can't see me opening up a Gemara, then it looks like I know how to learn. But I can't not learn, so I have to memorize all the Shas. This is the plan. I have to memorize the whole Shas, so I can be holding without people seeing me. I have to be able to daven like a wagon driver. Now, we all know the nice stories about wagon drivers, but they daven pretty fast, the wagon driver, and hold with all the kavanas. So he was training, and he was training himself. So people should see him and look at him like a simple wagon driver. They should see this person, Israel Salanter, and they should think he was a simple wagon driver. He davened simply. He didn't know how to learn. Like you look at like a Pasha guy outside when you go to Machane Yehuda, you know, a nice one with nice midas, something, you know, not a gruff guy. But you should look at him like you look at a nice guy who sells, you should look at the Rabbi Sorrel like you look at a nice fellow who sells fruit in the shuk. That's what he wanted to look like. But he had to hold by his madrig, so he had to memorize Shas. And he had to know how to daven with full speed without any being, full speed with full kavanah without anybody being able to tell. And this was his plan. This was the mahalach. He was halfway through memorizing Shas. And then he made a tremendous turn in his life, which he said, which is important for us in Eresh HaTorah for specifically to mention, but it's important for everybody to mention. He said, in these times, a person can't really be a nister. You have to reveal that Tzibur is so necessary. This is the community. There's so many of the needs of the community and needs for Klal Yisrael. So it's not the right way. It's not the right mahalach in these days to be so hidden, right? But we understand, but that same desire to be hidden always stayed with him in a certain way. He didn't want to, as much as he had to. He had to get up. He had to speak. He had to do it. Not for self-recognition, not because he wanted to be popular. Not to make a name for himself. Not to be out there. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu needed him. Because of Kavod Shemayim. That's why he was out there. Only for Kavod Shemayim. Why do we want to be out there? Is it for God or is it for ourselves? And a similar similar note, the Alta Slobodka again, Yaakov Kamenetsky once commented, why did the Alta write anything down? His story didn't write down, you know? So the Alta, Yaakov Kamenetsky said about the Alta, he says, you know, by the Alta, Nassim Tzvi Finkel would have been just as happy if no one would have known Nassim Tzvi Finkel would have existed. Maybe one day that name would be taken by the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir 100 years later. That's not his fault. But he would have been just as happy if no one knew who he was. He would live and he would die. Ella what? He had to go and make all Torah that we have in our hands. It's because of him. That's what he had to do. But to go and write it down, he didn't have to do that. He was building Rav Aaron Kull. He was building all the great Rosh Yeshiva, all Torah in America, and most of it in Eretz Yisrael. All came through him. But himself, I would have been happy to be unknown. So I didn't have to write it down. Today, you know, the opposite. Someone told me I want to write an ethical will. An ethical will? Be a little ethical first. What do you have to write an ethical will about? You know, I have to leave something over to my children. Your whole life, you didn't think about what you're doing for a second. I have to write an ethical will. I thought about something. I have to write a sefer. What are you writing a sefer about? Chashabta mashu. You learn for 6 months, you have to write a sefer. What are you writing a sefer about? A lot of our recognition is pushing us so far, Rav Olbe said. So this is it. Oh. Rav Olbe commented one time, you know, this is very important. He said there was a concept of Anashim Gedolim. There were great men amongst the Goyim, amongst non-Jews. There was a concept. He said clearly, there was a concept of an Adam Gadol, a great man who was a non-Jew. He said, but you know, let's take one of them, Albert Schweitzer. You guys know Albert Schweitzer was? I think he was a Nobel Prize winner in medicine. He went into the jungles. He mamish deep into the jungles. He saved a lot of Africans in the Congo, wherever it was, you know, and he really brought medicine to these people that were dying left and right from all types of sicknesses which they didn't have to die from. He said, and he was a great man. Rav Olbe said he was an Adam Gadol, but everything he did, he wrote a book about, you know? Every step of the way was documented, and clarified, and brought out. Everybody had to know everything Albert Schweitzer did. He said, that was the musig, that was the concept of great men amongst the goyim. I read a book about John Adams one time, same things. He said his whole life he had concepts. He had musagim. He wasn't a simple person like you'd say. But it was always the tremendous battle with who's getting credit. You know, his wife said to him, Abigail, turned to him one time when George was riding off. He says, he's going to get all the laurels. You know, he's leading the army and he's going to get all the credit. That's where they were thinking. Who's getting the credit? Who's cashing in? So this is what it means, Rebosa. That's what it means to be a tsanua, to live in an inner world. I don't have to get recognition all the time. I hold personally a person has to be honest with that need. Covet and recognition, don't just get rid of it. It's a need, like eating is a need and things like that. It's another taiva we have. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to, I give many people a dracha like that. But to know, but to be real with yourself, how much is that moving me? How much is that not moving me? Am I working on it? Am I trying to get over it? Do I need less of it than I used to need? This is what it means to be a tzanua. This is what it means to live in an inner world. Just for a moment, just to touch on one other aspect of tznius. Other aspects. Good morning, Ksubis, Daf Ches. Says this is Be'erach Nelashon. Kulam Yodim Lama Kala Nichnas El Chupa. Everybody knows why a Kala goes into a Chupa, where it's ending up. Al Misha Menabel Pi Vomer, someone who speaks about it and mentions that Nevel Peh. Afilu Gzardin Shel Shivim Shana is Nikra. Even if he has a Gzardin Latovi, he had a Gzair on him for 7 years for good. Kadosh Baruch is going to take it away. Gemara Ksubis Daf Ches. People get to that Gemara. Daf Ches. Nevel Peh. The things we don't speak about. Maral there on the Gemara I saw last night says, Nivel Peh, that type of talk is worse than Lashon Hara. Everybody talks about Lashon Hara all the time. That's worse. That's Kasha. Lashon Hara, the words aren't bad. It's the topic is bad. Here the words are trefa words, pasa words, not words we should say. Every Ben Torah has to know, and every Jew has to know. Everybody trying us to know that there are things we don't discuss, you know, women, sexuality. These are things that we, even in Divrei Torah, sometimes we get to speak Divrei Torah. We don't talk about that in a very tzanua place, in a private place. There's a place for things, but it's not something that we talk about. It's not something we're bringing out there. You learn sugyas, you have to discuss them. But like Divrei Torah about, it's not something that's not, it's not the right thing. It's not the thing. You know, other things, shiduchim. So much. I like personally that guys in Shiva are open about things. There's a certain openness, nice openness that guys have, you know, about different things. But you have to. I'm not making a psak here. I don't have it exactly clear myself. What yet? What's no? And it's very nice that guys are open about things. But you have to know. Not everybody knows. Has to know when you have a date. Not every guy has to know. The whole yeshiva should know. And it's your business. It's your business. Your friends know. Your rabbi. Things like that. But there has to be some sense of this is my business. Not everybody has to know about it. I want to say a lot stronger than that. You know. One bacher shouldn't be setting up another bacher. If you have a nice idea, Yeshiva Baruch Hashem has hired a very able person to handle shaduchim. It's Rabbi Rossman now, no? All right, Walter, that was a joke. Okay, just checking. All right, we've hired a very able, very caring, very dedicated person. If you have an idea for one of your friends, don't talk to your friend about it. Go through Rabbi Walter. And Chalila, Rabbi say, Chalila, I'm telling you, it's a dover that's treif impossible. To discuss how girls look, two guys discuss how girls look, or other things about it, is dover that's treif. If you happen to know, your friend knows, so you could ask Rabbi Walter to find out or something like that, it's another thing. But to discuss such things, it's not talk which b'nei Torah. Guys are sitting and learning the whole time. Guys who want to be dedicated to Klal Yisrael, guys who are into Kavod Shamayim, that's not the talk that people should be talking about. When I hear these things, I want to vomit sometimes. I don't show it. But it's not the way b'nei Torah talk. We don't talk about girls' looks to each other. You don't discuss it. You don't talk not nicely about girls. Would you want the girls in the Vay to be talking about you? So lo adarech. Okay. We'll work through a rub. So just to finish off for both sides, we live in a world which viciously, as much as it's fighting against anything, it fights against these. Spirituality is already popular, you know? I was in Florida, talked to my aunt and my cousin, told me about the Kabbalah Center, you know? My other cousin, who was a little bit more of a cynical businessman, who was making fun of my aunt and his mother and their cousin for being involved, said they're just trying to get your money. That went on for about 10 minutes until my aunt said, well, maybe you're right, because my friend's husband had cancer and they sold him Kabbalah water for $10,000. So maybe they are trying to make money in these places. But anyway, so that spirituality is already in. Tznius is out. Viciously out. Who's Tznua? Someone wrote a book, doesn't anybody any blush anymore? There's no concept in the world. And both dargas that we're talking about, Tznius in terms of women, sexuality, things like that, and even living in a world, who's interested in that? Who cares about that? We're getting viciously attacked. Viciously attacked. Gevaldig great is the schar of someone in such a time when Tznius is mamash a mace mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which is dead, which is lying in the street. Someone who picks up a mace mitzvah, the schar, the reward is ein l'shar v'ein l'tar, is not describable. He who's mechazik himself, his anshei beis, himself and his family, great is the schar. So we should be zocha to be amongst those when the whole world is becoming more and more chitzoni, that we here in Eishet Torah can become more and more panimi. Oh, 1 second, quickly. Ryan Schneider is going to make a quick service announcement. Brief announcement for us.
It'll be very, very brief. Powers that be asked me to say a couple words regarding the
article. Sitting behind you, Brian, is that okay?
Upcoming one-on-one. I'm moving by side, actually.